Well, good morning again, and what a beautiful and blessed day that it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 39. Today I'm going to be preaching on like the days of Noah. Last Sunday night, I got to go down to Herod, Illinois, to hear my friend Rick Cluck at his church start a revival. And they had revival Sunday through Wednesday night. And Sunday evening, he preached the importance of us getting out in these last days and starting to tell people about Jesus. And I'm telling you what, it was a great revival service Sunday night. So I'm so glad to be a part of that. When you get to the scripture, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Excuse me. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, we pray that your word this morning will make us aware, make us ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, your Son. Because we know that that day is closer now than it has ever been. And Father, let us get our hearts, let us get our lives in right order. And let us be the Christian people that you have called us to be. And Father, as I preach the message today, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You can definitely look all around right now, today, and you can definitely see the signs that Jesus is coming is very near. We have chaos, we have disorder going on all around the world, and the weather patterns are weird. I mean, here we are, it's November the 4th, it's going to be 77 degrees today, but anyway, sin is running rampant. The prophecies are being fulfilled faster and faster in the Bible. We see that people are full of evil thoughts. Their hearts have gotten evil. A lot of Christian people have turned away from Christ and His church. If you look at the headlines in the newspaper, you see it on the evening news. There is wickedness and immorality taking place all across our globe. There are people that are embracing different lifestyles now, and I don't have to go into deep detail as to what I'm talking about. There are a lot of lifestyles that are being accepted, and it's being accepted as it's okay. There are women who are more and more having abortions in our world today. Crime has increased, and sadly, we are seeing more and more of our children being involved with crime, and lawlessness is all about us. People no longer care about following the laws of the land. Mostly, people don't even care about following the laws and the commandments of Jesus Christ. And even our own TV programs, they're not even fit to watch because of the filth and the yuck and the sin that people are starting to exploit. And now people are starting to accept everything today as the new normal. They're looking at it as it's okay. And just as in the days of Noah, how things are now, they were back then. Because back in the days of Noah, people didn't care about the Lord. People were living life how they wanted to. People were living by the possessions they had. And I see that a lot today. That's one thing I forgot to mention. People live today for what they have. They strive to build a kingdom upon this earth. And Jesus himself said, don't build up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but we're supposed to build up for ourselves a treasure in heaven. And in our day and society, God is looking for Christian people who are willing to stand up and proclaim the message that Jesus is coming back very soon. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. The only person, the only holy being that knows when Jesus is coming is God the Father. God's Word says Jesus doesn't even know, and the angels of heaven don't even know. But the time is definitely drawing close, and we are at a point where we need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we need to see as many people as we can going to heaven. We need to see our churches filled up with people that have a hungry heart. Now, last Sunday night, I went down to this church is out in the middle of nowhere. Now, most people would think Boskydale might be out in the middle of nowhere, but it's not really. We're just on the outskirts of Carbondale. This church out of Herod, I'm telling you, you got to climb a radio tower to get a cell phone signal. It's in the bottoms. I mean, it's in the lowest of the lows. And I drove all the way out there, and I was thinking to myself and my human thinking, there ain't going to be a soul here tonight at 7 o'clock for this revival. I don't think we may have 6 or 10 people. I want to tell you, that church house was packed. There were people singing the hymns. There were people loving on each other. And there were people getting fired up Sunday night about living their life for the Lord Jesus. We need to be the type of steadfast, faithful people that was found in Noah upon the day that the flood was about to approach. God saw the wickedness of Noah's time, and God knew that he had to do something to try to cease the lawlessness and the wickedness and the evil going on. And he had told Noah, he found favor with Noah, because Noah was the type of man who loved God. Noah worshiped God. He was faithful. He was dedicated to the Lord. He had belief in everything that God said to him, and he never doubted God. So with the kind of heart that Noah had, God told Noah that he wanted him to build this ark, and because Noah's family had favor, God was going to put them into the ark during the 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain. And as Noah started to build the ark, now imagine this. Noah is building the ark on dry ground. They had never seen rain. They had never heard of rain, because back in the early days of the Bible, you remember all of the ground and vegetation, everything was watered from the ground, from underneath and up. Never had there been any rain falling, and people thought that Noah had flipped his own mind and his own wig. They thought that Noah was crazy They thought maybe he probably stressed out over life, and here he is building an ark on dry ground, and he's telling people there is a flood coming. And as the people and the multitudes passed by him, as they laughed and mocked at him, Noah continued faithfully dedicated to God, still built the ark, knowing and believing a flood was coming and destruction was going to hit the face of the earth. If God said it, it is going to happen. And in today's world and society, we tell people that Jesus is coming again. We let them know about the crucifixion, the burial and the resurrection, and the ascension back to heaven. And we tell people what God's Word says, that Jesus is again coming very soon. And what do people do? People will mock, they will laugh, they will make fun of us. And what happens to most of the people that have been preaching and telling of God's Word? What happens to them when people laugh and mock? Some of them will turn away, and some of them will be so discouraged, and some of them will feel so defeated that they won't ever have the heart or the unction again to go forth and start to spread the gospel. I don't care how many people laugh at me. I don't care what people say about me. People can be judgmental all they want. But all I know is when Jesus comes again, I will tell others about His coming. Excuse me, my allergies are really getting the best of me this morning. But I will tell them until the final day, when they see my cowboy boots left sitting on the ground and there ain't nothing but billows of smoke rolled out of them, because when Jesus comes, I'm going straight up and I will be taken away with Him to my eternal home in heaven. And yeah, there is a lot going on in this world today. Get that lady beetle out of here. There's a lot going on in the world today, but it doesn't matter what the world says. What matters is what the Word of God says. And it is about time that we as Christian people get our lives in order, get our godly business in order, and that we start going out into the highways and the byways and telling people about Jesus. 2 Peter 2:5, I'm going to read a different translation, says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." That's what God is looking for today. He's looking for people, Christian people, who will be righteous. Do you know that God will find favor with you as long as you are faithful and dedicated to Him? You don't have to go climb over a mountain. You don't have to go accomplish all these big, great, and mighty deeds to find God's favor. All you have to do is live according to His Word, obey His commandments, love Him, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and live your life the best that you can. And when you do those things, when you worship and preach what God has laid upon your heart, you will find favor with the Lord. But Noah preached what was coming to the people. He preached right living. He preached repentance. And if there's one thing that our world needs, not just America, but the entire world, every single country needs to repent. This is what my friend Rick was preaching last Sunday night. Repentance. We have gotten to a point where life, we have just accepted it, we're embracing it, and even Christians are doing the exact same thing, And now they're starting to say, this is truth. Christians are starting to say, we have God's grace, so let things be as they are. God's grace will cover all what's going on in our world. No, that ain't how it happens. Judgment is coming, and I want to tell you right now, if there's anything within our hearts and lives that we need to confess and repent of, we need to be hitting the altars, or we need to be dropping to our knees wherever we're at, getting on our faces before the Lord God and confessing our sins, repenting and turning from our evil and wicked ways. And we should be asking God to forgive us of our sins, to create within us a clean heart and renew a right and a steadfast spirit. And we need to be asking God the Father to teach us how to live by the power of His Holy Spirit. See, there are no excuses to be made. Noah did not give people an excuse. Noah told them that the flood was coming, and they didn't believe him. But the day came when the ark was finished, and God put Noah and his family, and He told Noah to get two of every kind of animal and put them on the ark. And then God closed the door to the ark, and He sealed them in there safely. And then the rain started to fall. And what happened? See, the people who did not listen waited till the last second. They thought they had all the time in the world, but when the rain came and fell, they started to beat on the door of the ark, and they were crying out for Noah to open the ark and save them. But God is the one who closed that door, and He sealed it shut, and there was no opening it back. And I say that to say this to you. You can live life according to your free will if you want. You can live life however you want. But if you keep waiting and you say, well, I've got another day till Jesus comes back, I'll just live how I want today. I'm telling you this, the moment Jesus comes and He calls His children out of this earth and the Holy Spirit is removed, I tell you this, You think we're having hell on earth right now? You wait till the Holy Spirit has been pulled out of this earth and the Antichrist is totally released during the tribulation period. I would hate to be one left behind. That's why it's important that we look at our life and our heart. Where am I living? What is my attitude? Where is my heart? Who am I dedicated to? Because when Jesus comes back, people cannot stand here in the church houses and say, but God, your love and grace is mighty and merciful. Well, what about me? You've been told, you've been warned, it's been preached that Jesus is coming. The time is now for salvation. The time is now to get our lives in right order with God the Father. Because the moment Jesus comes back and we're out of here, the ones that are left behind, they can still get to heaven during the tribulation. But you know what they have to do? They have to go through tribulation time. They have to refuse the mark of the beast, and they have to die for the witness of the Lord. But so why would people want to wait till that time? Now is the time to get things right, to get things in order. I watched those folks worshiping last Sunday night and just singing. And then when Rick got up in the pulpit to preach, I mean, he preached the word with conviction. And I tell you what, if the Holy Spirit was ever up on somebody so mightily, it was up on Rick last Sunday night. And when people left that church, and I know when I left that church house last Sunday night, My heart was driven to see revival happen. That church, I want to tell you this, that sanctuary is smaller than ours. As a matter of fact, that church, the one wall is probably right this row where Eugene and Bob and Larry's at, and the other wall was right there. And they had only, I think there was maybe 6-7 pews up each side. And they was jam full already. And I thought, man, this is great. And that's what we need to see here at Boskydale. We need to see people hungry for revival. We need to see people who are hungry to go after the lost and the ones who have strayed from Christ, to get them to come to church, because churches today, what are they doing to get the message out? I know there's churches out there doing the right thing, but I also know that people are looking for churches where the church can benefit them. We need to be the kind of people that we could be the benefit to our church, to our God. We need to be the ones serving. We need to be the ones saying, Lord, plant me where I need to be, and then you use me from that point on. The devil will try at every expense to stop us from going forward and doing God's will. See, the people would not believe. And that's what happens today. People refuse to believe. And why is that? Because the devil has a way of getting a hold of the mind and the heart and twisting things around and distorting. He will bring so much darkness that he makes the heart to where they refuse to see the light and the love of the Lord. And so people refuse to believe. People refuse to believe that Jesus is even coming back. People refuse to believe that Jesus died on a cross. They just think it's some big fairy tale. I have witnessed to people in my lifetime, and I tell you what, it sent me home very disturbed to hear somebody say to me, I don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe in all that Jesus stuff. I don't believe that there's an end of the world and a rapture and all that stuff. I don't even believe that there's a hell. I don't even believe there's... I've heard so much. And when I walked away, it's like somebody just hit you in the head with a steel bar and knocked the sense right out of you. It's that kind of a feeling, that people are so hard-hearted that they refuse to believe. They are so ensnared with the devil. But you know what? If we take the light and the love of the Lord Jesus to people, that darkness can be broken. We can take a light to those. We can help open the blind eyes. But you know how people believe? People will believe when they see that we believe. When they see what's at work in our life, they're going to want it too. 2 Peter 3:3-6 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. What that's talking about, God destroyed the world with a flood. Now, God promised by the sign of a rainbow that He would never destroy the entire world with a flood again. But the coming of Jesus is very near. And we need to go to the scoffers. We need to go to the unbelievers. And we need to go to them with love. It doesn't help to go to them and then we get frustrated because they refuse to believe. How many times you ever go witness to somebody and you feel like pinching their head off? Oh, man, I've been there. I have. There's been times I want to take my Bible and just give them a good whop upside the noggin and hoping that maybe something would get lodged in the cortex of their brain and the message would be reverberated some, but I knew that wouldn't work. What had to work was love. That's the thing about Noah. Noah loved. And that's what God is looking for in us, is love. And now the Bible doesn't really depict it, but I wonder how many people listened and really took the message to heart. How about us? How are we listening? How are we receiving the message? How are we taking it to heart? You know, we can come to church. I know a lot of people, like I did this a few weeks ago, you know, look to watch, or they'll look at the clock on the wall. Well, it's almost lunchtime. Well, I sure am hungry. I'm famished. I tell you how you solve that problem. Eat good breakfast. Go to bed early the night before, come to church and put on your best praise and worship and give your all to the Lord. And when the message is being preached and when we're singing, enjoy all of it while you're here. I preached for a friend of mine one time, walked into the church, just getting ready to read the scripture, and this woman's hand come up in the back of the church. I thought maybe she was ready to make a decision already or something. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Preacher, could I ask a question?" "Sure." "How long are you going to preach this morning?" I said, "Well, why would you ask something like that?" "Well, I put a roast on this morning." And she said, I'm hoping that you don't preach too long because I'd like to go home and make sure I got enough water in the crock pot and it doesn't dry out." Well, those of you know how sweet I am and how innocent I can be. I said, "Well, I've got a 10-page outline. I should be done preaching about an hour and a half this morning." I said, "I think you just might go home and throw that roast out." Well, that wasn't well received. But anyway, it's sad though when people come to church and they put a time constraint on the Holy Spirit. Really? Could you imagine if we were still here at 12 o'clock having church? Some folks would be going, "Oh, man, I don't want him to preach ever again." Well, it ain't the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit moving. And see, that's what we need to do today. We need to open our heart and our life. And we need to say, "Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in my church. Have your way in my life. Lord, I surrender and yield it all to you. And if we have to be in church till 12 or 12:30, then so be it." Because if revival comes out of it, if people start getting saved, then I would gladly miss lunch. I would gladly miss time with a friend or family to be at church and see people get saved and have to baptize them. I'd rather do that than anything else. When the rains began to fall and the floodwaters began to rise, everything really began to get deep. And people started believing before it was way too late. Well, right now, before things really start getting deep, before Jesus comes back, let's take a look at our heart and our life. Because when Jesus appears and that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that are remaining will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air. That's right. Amen, Milton. And we will be taken. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this because I'm not an ear tickler. I'm not a comforting preacher. I'm here to give you the word as it is. There's going to be a lot of people. If Jesus came during church time, there's going to be a lot of seats where there's people still sitting. And that's the point where that's not where we need to say, well, I wonder how Laura's life is. I wonder how Milton is. I wonder if they'll go to heaven up in the rapture when Jesus comes. That's not what we're supposed to do. What we ought to do is point the finger right here and say, am I ready? Am I ready? If I'm not ready, I need to get it ready. Because, folks, this is a serious situation that I'm preaching to you about this morning. When Jesus comes, it's going to be too late. Noah and his family were on the ark. They were safe. God shut the door. And they were safe for 40 days and 40 nights. Right now, if your life is not where it should be, there's an open altar. I wonder when the last time people came to this altar and knelt and said, God, my life isn't right. If Jesus came right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I know it. Get rid of the stubborn pride. Get rid of your own beliefs and your own sightseeings and what you think how it all ought to go. Get to the altar today and say, Lord, I give my heart and life to you and I accept Jesus as my Savior. Or, Lord, I've walked away from fellowship. I've strayed in my life, but I'm coming back to you today. Because I'm telling you, when that trumpet sounds, some of us will remain, some of us will be gone.